CliffCentral.com.
All right, it is Thursday morning, which means we get to check in on all the big stories of the week. We get to talk about the things that are affecting our lives and the stories that everybody else is interested in. And among other things this morning, we will be focusing in on the ANC. I'm also thrilled that we've got the author of a book called The Enemy Within, Mpumelelo Mkabela, who I introduced earlier. Mpumelelo, it's very nice to see you, and thank you very much for making time to be with us today.
Thank you, Gareth, for the invitation.
It's a great pleasure. Well done on the book, by the way. It's a really interesting insight into what goes on in the ANC. There's so many things that we know about the ANC, but there are also so many things that we don't know. And before we get into the book or too much else around the book, I also want to welcome Dada Morero, who's the elected ANC representative for the Joburg Regional Office. He's the chairperson of the ANC at the regional conference in June this year. He was elected. He is committed to contributing to the ANC's renewal program by sorting out the structures, reconnecting the region's branches, and engaging the community on all the issues. But we're thrilled to have you here. And Dada, thank you very much for making time to be with us today. It's always been a little bit difficult for us to get the ANC to send us people to talk on the show. I don't know if they're frightened or anything. I promise you, we're not going to be horrible to anybody. So I'm glad that you could join us this morning. Dada, can you hear us? Oh, I think we've got a...
We can't hear you.
Yeah, we can't hear you.
So, maybe you're on mute.
Simpiwe, will you just see if you can sort that out? I don't think he's on mute. It seems like he's connected there. So we'll see if we can just get him back on. And also a little bit later on, we'll be joined by Kanthan Pillay, who, of course, has been on the Burning Platform before. But while we're getting started here, Mpumelelo, just to let people know about your book, to give them a précis, you really go into like the whole idea of CADA deployment, the CADA project, which is a project that the ANC started back in 2000 to develop ANC members and to try and get them to steer clear of corruption, to embrace a new morality. And obviously you look at the situation 22 years later and you go, that was all for nothing, right? That was all for naught. It was a complete waste of time. It seems like we just kind of went backwards, if anything. Oh, now it looks like we've lost Mpumelelo as well. We're definitely being sabotaged this morning. I don't know what's going on there.
Okay, well, that's everyone in the comments has been desperate to hear what I think about the hate speech ruling.
Oh, yeah. Let's go on that. Let's start off with that. Go for it, Pumps. I had my say
and
on Tuesday.
I do want to say that we did try and get... We did try and get Ernst to come on the show to join us today. He was unable to because of why, Ghana? Because of like, school runs.
Yeah, and also, I mean, it would have been quite full. As you can see, we've already got two guests. Of course, technical problems notwithstanding, and Canton. So I think it was too many things in one. Let's hold off on that because I do want to hear your opinion on it, but maybe we get to that at the end. I don't want to lose.
Can we get the guys again?
Yes. Okay. I don't want to lose time with Mpumelelo. So
absolutely.
I gave a little précis there of this CADA deployment and the CADA project, which you talk about 22 years ago. It's amounted to very little, hasn't it, Mpumelelo?
It has. And by the way, Gareth, at the time when there was a talk of this new CADA, the new kind of member of the ANC who would be morally upright, who would shun away from things like corruption, who would be technically skilled. At the time when there was a discussion about that, there was already a realization that something had gone wrong and there was a need for some kind of a rebirth, some kind of a Damascus moment for members to change their ways and to adopt a new morality. But we know that since then, nothing has happened. Either the CADA was never born or was still born or was aborted.
Yeah, Pumi, that's a hell of a thing to say, right? It was either stillborn or it was aborted. Woo! where do you think it goes wrong? Do you think that there wasn't any desire to actually sort the problem out? Or do you think it was just what a lot of politicians do, lip service? You know, well, we're going to sort this out. We're going to make it better. We know even now there are still people in the ANC who say, oh, no, there's an ANC worth saving. There are good people in this organization. We just have to put them at the top of the food chain.
Look, I try to grapple with that issue in this book. And one of the things I try to analyze is the commitments the ANC makes. I mean, if you look back from that day that we're discussing, that was 2000, at that National General Council in Gqeberha, when the decision was taken that, you know, we need a new cadre, new morality. There's a lot of commitments that the ANC makes. If you look at its conferences from 1997, where there was a talk of, like, you know, we need to deal decisively with corruption, right up to the Nasrec conference where Cyril Ramaphosa was elected president. So the ANC is rich with literature on commitments to fight corruption. So I tried to analyze how is it that a party that has made so much commitment to fight corruption has actually turned out to be consumed by the problem. And I tried to deal with, for example, the leadership, the element of leadership, how different leaders have dealt with the problem. From Nelson Mandela's time, Thabo Mbeki's time, Jacob Zuma's time, and now up to Cyril Ramaphosa. And one of the things I found, Gareth, when I was doing the research and trying to analyze this problem, I actually found that Jacob Zuma was the most concerned person about corruption. And statistically, if you look at the commitments he was making in the January 8th statement, which is the most important statement of the ANC every year, and also in the State of the Nation addresses when he was president of the country, I found that actually he made more commitments to fight corruption and he showed more concern about corruption than any other leader of the ANC. So, but then at the end of the day, he's the kind of a guy who ended up in prison for failing to testify about what he did when he was president of the country on state capture. Even now, as we speak, I mean, just this week, a ruling came out that he actually has to pay back some 6 million rand for the Nkandla overspend. And the Nkandla story is one of the stories I analyze in this book about it being direct theft and it being an instruction to ANC members and to people in government that they can actually disregard the public funds. They can just use them. So that's one of the things I try to deal with, to say, there's one side of the commitment, which is rhetoric, which is found in the literature, in the declarations, in the resolutions of conferences. Then there's the other side of how actually the leaders act and behave in leadership positions. So I say that people in government, ordinary civil servants and ANC members, they take instruction from what the leaders are doing, not what the leaders are saying. So, and that's one of the reasons why corruption became endemic.
There's a lot to unpack here. Before we carry on, Pums, I'm sorry. I want to bring Dada Morero back in. Dada, it's a great pleasure to have you on the show this morning, and thank you for joining us. You know, we've invited many people from the ANC over this time, and I'm thrilled that you could actually come and be a part of the show, because so often we wish there was someone who could speak on behalf of the ANC, and so often they're not willing to join for whatever reasons, or maybe they're unable. Also, Kanthan Pillay is here, so just so that we've got everybody on board, I can bring anybody into the conversation at any time. Let's start with you, Dada, because you've heard what Pumelelo said now about the ANC and corruption and cadre deployment and whether or not they've been successful in any respect here. Tell us what your feelings are and how it works inside when you're running something like the Johannesburg region for the ANC.
Well, thanks for the opportunity.
Sure.
The issues raised by Mr. Mkavela are indeed true. The ANC has attempted in a number of conferences to confront this issue called corruption, in particular within the state. And part of the conference or attempts that the ANC would have tried to do was, for example, create institutions in Nali past corruption. And I think we should also appreciate that the ANC is one of the biggest organizations and has a responsibility to run the public purse. And as a result, individuals within the ANC, whether leaders, members who then get exposed to the public past decisions and the resolutions of the ANC. And those that have done wrong have always tried to find a way of them not being caught by the ANC or be dealt by the ANC internally. And that would be as a result of the structures of the ANC themselves, where people would then fight to be in the upper structures of the ANC so that whenever they are found to have done wrong, they are part of that decision structures to make decision whether to get rid of a person or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then use punish and mobilize members to defend themselves. So that is true. On the second level, we have institute of play institutions to try and help us deal with this mess. One, the Integrity Commission. So have the ability to help us deal with those of our
Dada, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to interrupt you. Your line is breaking up very badly, so we can't really. I'm hearing Dada. I'm sorry, I'm hearing every second word at the moment. So we're going to just see if we can't get you back on a clearer line. But I mean, what he was saying there made a lot of sense, and I think there's a lot of honesty in that. You know, a lot of people get to top positions so that they can defend themselves against corruption allegations. That's the whole reason to climb to the top of the tree in the ANC. It's an interesting point and something which he's not disputing. Pumelelo, what would you say to that?
Yes, actually, that's one of the most interesting thing, actually, Gareth, if you listen to Mr. Moreira, is that there are very few people in the ANC who will tell you that they're not interested in fighting corruption. Basically, everyone will tell you that we're committed to fighting corruption. And in the region where Moreira is, where he's chairman, there's a very interesting case which I tried to analyze in the book of Jeff Makubo, the late Jeff Makubo. May his soul rest in peace. Jeff Makubo, as you remember, appeared in the Zondo Commission. And he was accused of being Mr. 10%. And I tried to analyze what this Mr. 10% means. Because basically, he was a consultant. Some kind of a stakeholder relations consultant. Consulting with the companies that have got contracts with the city of Johannesburg. While he was MEC for finance in the city of Johannesburg. And at the same time, he was treasurer of the ANC in the region where Moreira is chairman at the moment. And so he was basically fundraising for himself and for the ANC through the people that had contracts with the city of Johannesburg. So I speak about how he put the ANC in a position where it had comparative advantage over fundraising, over any other party, because this is the person who's in charge of the finances of the city. He oversees what the city does with its money. And then he's in the position where he could actually sign off contracts. And he uses that to basically fundraise for himself 10% for his company, which he owned with his mother. And then he also fundraised a lot of money for the ANC in the 2014, during the 2014 elections. So, but if you go and look at the speeches of Makubo, you'll find a lot of anti-corruption statements. So, which is the issue I raised in the book. If what Makubo was doing was not corruption in his own book and in the book of the ANC, actually, what is corruption? So when people say, like Mr. Moreira says, no, they are committed to fighting corruption, they want to implement the resolutions, integrity commission and all of that, it's all well and good. But why is it that they're not implementing it? I think that's the issue that we need to discuss. And if we have to take every word from Moreira as the truth, now that he's in a position of leadership as a chairperson of the region, he needs to say, for example, during what Makubo did was wrong. He needs to first admit that and then say how is he going to implement the resolution of his region, of the province and of the national on corruption, wherever he is as chairperson of the region. And he must not say it by word of mouth, because one of the things that I try to analyze in the book is that the divergence between words an action?
I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond to that, Dada, and then we're going to ask Canton and Pumi a couple of questions. Well, they've got a few questions for you and for Mpumelelo, but do you want to respond to what Mpumelelo just said? You're on, yeah?
Well, thanks. I hope my line is
much better. Much better. Yes, go ahead.
Much better. Thank you so much. It is true what Kavela is raising. In fact, we were affected first in Johannesburg. I think when the matter first surfaced, we had a discussion in the Regional Executive Committee. At that point, I was the Regional Secretary. And we then agreed that the matter is out of our hands as a region because it affects the chairperson of our region. Therefore, the matter should be given over to the Provincial Executive Committee, which the Provincial Executive Committee then took a decision to refer the matter to the Integrated Committee of of the province. And for some reason, he presented his case, and he was not found guilty by the Integrity Committee based on the facts that he would have submitted to the Integrity Committee. And at that stage, then the ANC in the region accepted the report, and the report was indeed closed. Once the Commission of the State Capture came into being, the matter was then resurfaced, and the former person from the JEF had to go and present to the commission, and of course the commission had found him to have been in the wrong. Now, before the ANC could entertain the decisions of the commission, unfortunately, death struck us and Comrade Death passed on before the matters of the commission could also be entertained. It was when he went to the first appearance, we then agreed at the level of the PEC, based on his report that he'll be appearing for the second time, the matter will then be addressed after his second appearance. Mm-hmm. So the decisions on whether what would have happened to Comrade Jeff Wood could have been taken immediately after his testimony at the Zondo Commission. Now, the ANC's inability, as I said, to act at times is affected by the fact that those that are found to have done wrong then occupy senior and strategic positions within the organization. And some has the ability, of course, to lobby and compromise other members within the leadership collective so that when they've done wrong, they've got praise singers, and those that sing for the supper will do everything to fight and defend. I'm talking about members within leadership structures, branch structures, and at times it becomes so difficult for the ANC to act. However, the ANC needs to take a view that if we were to create a new cadre as we had adopted at our conferences, the ANC needs to be a centralized organization so that the center should be able to act without any fear or favor. But the weakness, therefore, again, is that even at the center, you then find individuals who are compromised. And this is because over a period of time, the ANC had attracted people, in fact, who are not genuine and honest cadres of the ANC, but people who have seen an opportunity that the leadership structures of the ANC presents an opportunity for them to have access to state resources. And as a result of that, they then do wrong. Now, we have to rethink how we structure our organization. We have to rethink who do we put in leadership. And we should not be afraid, as the ANC, to say, Comrade Dada, you have done wrong. Leave the organization. And the difficulty is making that decision and being decisive on those that have committed wrong and undermined the struggle to advance the quality of life of our people.
Pumi?
So I think we need to find a better way. And society should also be able to help us to deal with these issues. And I hope that at some point we'll be able to bring a decisive leadership. In Johannesburg, as you have said, we have taken as the chairperson now, I've taken a view that where I am responsible, my responsibility, therefore, is to ensure that there's no rhetoric. I act on these matters if we are confronted by those matters without any fear or favor. And as the chairperson of the region, I'm so willing to enter that space and deal with those that have done wrong in my region.
Bumi?
You know, that it's all well and good to want to have a conversation that says the ANC at the center, at provincial, at this. The reality is the ANC, like all organizations, is in law, the way that they describe it, like it's like a person in a coma with no hands and no feet. And the decisions are actually made by the people, right? So when you try and say the ANC, like it's some entity on its own that can make these decisions, it's shifting the blame. It's moving it away from the fact that it is individuals within the branches, within the party, within all of these structures that A, vote people into positions, support those people, pay them for their votes, and. But, you know, and I think one of the things, and I loved your book, Mpumelelo, and I wish we could have had a view, and this is unfortunately what happens when you have organizations that are underground, as the ANC was for so long, in the time that it was banned, is now there is a conversation that can only really start around 94, because that is when we had a view of what exactly was happening, who was where, and all these speeches and all of that. Every other thing is underground, and it's hearsay, and. And my view, unfortunately, is that because we don't know who this party is, when we talk about a new cadre, for instance, it's kind of thinking like there's something, why are we not talking about how this party, even in the underground, before it became government, was funded, and the illicit business that went into funding this party. Years ago, when I read one of Maya Angelou's books, I think it's The Heart of a Woman, she talks about a relationship that she had in Ghana with somebody who was an ANC freedom fighter. Obviously, he's unnamed. But the conversation that she has and the description that she gives of this particular comrade is absolutely, and this was in 1962 or something like that, is not different to all the comrades that we see now in Parliament. So is it really that there's this ANC, the comrades of the ANC, are new and amoral, as we are being told that they are? Or has this always been the party, and this is always the people that it has been able to attract? And these are the people that are able to ascend in the party. Now, they just have access to public funds to do all of this work. We have big conversations about the billion that was spent by Cyril Ramaphosa buying votes or buying his seat as the president of the party. But nobody has the conversation about the people who took the money, the people who he bought, and where those people are, and what those people are doing, and who else can buy those people to make what decisions. We don't have that conversation. This is the party that we have. This is who this party has always been. My assertion is this is who this party has always been.
So you're saying it's in the DNA, Pumi?
It's in the DNA of this party.
Do you agree?
We just don't have sight of what it was before 1994.
I don't think, Gareth, Bumi is raising arguments on the story of relationship. Angelou.
Not relationship, people, not relationships.
No.
I'm talking about a person.
Now, let's say back in 1994, because Bumi would like to know that. I was in the underground myself, very young at that time. And our responsibility, of course, was to curry information, to curry ammunition. That was our responsibility at that time in our unit. And we served with distinction, with commitment and honesty. And of course, we'd have been given money for transport, for food, and all other logistics that were required for us to give. Now, if you suggest that it is within our body politic that we are corrupt to the teeth, you'd be incorrect. Because the few individuals that have participated in corruption has, of course, destroyed the image of the ANC. But we shouldn't make a mistake and think that those officials in government are members of the ANC. In fact, they are not members of the ANC in their majority. And these are the people that have enabled corruption between officials and politicians to have happened.
Dada, can I ask this question?
Politicians will be involved in
Dada,
corruption. Yes, you can.
So if Cyril Ramaphosa spent, the number is a billion, to
buy to come to that point.
Yeah, get to it quickly. It's in the morning.
Of the ANC was not to regulate. No, the ANC has not accepted and acknowledged that throughout the world, lobbying and campaigning for leadership positions should, of course, be funded. And the ANC is trying to ignore the reality that, in fact, it has to accept that there will be funding, therefore regulate as to how this funding should happen when people contest for position. It happens in all political parties, by the way.
But
and it's a new thing,
question,
of course, in the ANC since 2007. I hear your point.
But there are
people who are delegates. And the people who receive the money are delegates to conference. No one is denying the fact that people were bought.
Okay, that's fantastic.
The problem, Mpumi, is that the ANC does not want to accept
the people
that it's in the common cause or in running political campaigns. Funding does happen. But
okay, that's fine.
No, the ANC doesn't want to accept that reality. And it's time that the ANC must regulate that space, because it's only through regulation that the ANC will be able to manage the flow of money in campaigns for leadership. It happens.
You have answered my question. Let's move on to the next thing.
Whether branch level, regional level, people do use money.
All right.
You've answered my question, we are clear that people within the party are willing to accept money in order to make a decision that favors the person with the money. You've answered that question. The fact that you are unable to regulate
Those that have money within our ranks stands to lead the ANC.
Right.
And those genuine and honest cadres who do not have money do not stand a chance to lead this organization. It's true.
Okay.
And hence we are how best can we create a new cadre within our ranks?
All right. So Dada, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for answering
that. Garrett.
No. Thank you for answering that. I'm thrilled that we actually have someone from the ANC here. And again, I want to just be very clear about the fact that we appreciate that you are here accounting for the ANC, because so often we have to talk about you guys and nobody's here to talk about it from within. I want to bring Canton in here because he's also got a couple of interesting points of view about where the ANC is headed and what might be happening, and also about, you know, who pays the piper, because as you say, the people who have the money are the ones who may as well make the decisions around who's going to lead.
Yeah.
Canton, you've got some interesting things to say about this.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing that I've been hearing from Dada over the past while is, in fact, something that has come out from ANC leadership ever since we became a free country. So the words that get spoken in terms of the commitment to corruption, I truly believe that the people who utter those words believe in those words. The question then becomes, how do we actually translate that into actually eliminating corruption? I think we need a multi-tiered approach to this. And the way in which we start off is to recognize that the essence of corruption is people taking money that's meant to be spent in the public good and diverting a significant chunk of that money to their own personal enrichment. So how do we obviate that scenario as a starting point? So let's separate that scenario from where we are talking about votes being bought in the ANC conferences. Frankly, from my side, I don't care about how votes get bought in the ANC conference because that is an internal matter for them. I am concerned about how public funds actually end up getting spent. And to my mind, the best solution that we can have is to have absolute transparency in terms of how every single bit of money gets spent. So that means that city budgets need to be completely open to scrutiny by all members of the public. Every single line item needs to be open to scrutiny, and our ability to question that as members of the public must be completely unfettered. So we need to know every single salary person exactly how much they are earning. That gives us the ability to assess whether payments for particular positions are in fact in keeping with what gets paid in the public sector, whether it's disproportionately high, which would indicate that people are actually being rewarded for some other reason. Once we have that complete transparency, Dada, the way in which that actually helps your cause is right now, as you correctly pointed out, whenever things get raised within the ANC structures, and you have praise singers who then end up lobbying for particular individuals so that they're actually able to avoid scrutiny from within ANC structures and able to avoid action within ANC structures. But if every bit of expenditure, public expenditure, is open to scrutiny, it becomes very difficult for those praise singers to then come out and support because it is a matter of all of the expenditure being open to the public. That has to be the starting point in terms of how we go about tackling this. We need to become the first country in the world where every single bit of public expenditure is open to scrutiny. Thereafter, the question of what happens within the ANC ranks in terms of who gets paid off and so forth, that's the reason why we have the revenue services. And the revenue services need to be checking out on that. Of course, the difficulty comes when the payments get made in brown envelopes, and we know that frequently this is the case.
Well,
but
lifestyle audits.
Absolutely right, Karen. So we have the solutions, guys. And
it'll be interesting to see. Speaking of lifestyle audits, it'll be interesting to see how that premier and his, because they're doing polygraphs along with their lifestyle audits apparently in the next couple of weeks. It'll be interesting to see how that plans out.
Now, having made that point, you know, if one takes a view in terms of lifestyle audits, as you all know, I voted for the ANC up until Thabo Mbeki was ousted. And I've been to President Mbeki's place a couple of times. And certainly if one conducts a lifestyle audit of the way in which he lives, it's very clear that there are no fire pools that are being built. There's no extraordinary expenditure. The man lives within his means, clearly. And you can see that there's nothing there that's out of line with his salary as a retired president of the country. Why are we not actually able to do the same for all of the other ANC cadres? At the point at which you do this, then the public will begin to have a sense of trust.
Well, some went into office being billionaires. Let's not forget about that. And maybe this is a great place to bring Mpumelelo in because, I mean, you covered this in your book too. You know, the role of money in the ANC, and we know, and Dada's been quite honest about this, that there are lots of people who are on the take. They see this as their means to make a quick buck. And you cover some of this in your book too. You talk about how, you know, so often people come in with the best of intentions or the worst of intentions, and then the money changes them.
Yeah, true. I mean, there's a case I refer to another author who actually talked about how in the ANC, the regional secretaries would walk around with a file, two files basically, They would walk around with a file containing positions that are available in municipalities in the area where they operate. And then there'll be another file which has got a list of tenders in that area. And then I added that actually there's another list that now people carry, a hit list. Now people are dying, they are killing each other because of procurement. All of this, Morero was talking about, like, you know, people fight leadership positions to access state resources. And they support each other, they rent a crowd and all of that. But at the center of it is that they, which is partly what Kenton is talking about, but he doesn't address the real issue. The incentive system in the ANC, and now it has become a country problem. The incentive to be corrupt is much higher than the risk of being caught. So in other words, the system is so is such that it's lucrative to be corrupt, and the idea that you can be caught doesn't wash. And as Morero says, people fight for this leadership position so that they can then control what happens in the party. They use their leadership position to protect themselves. I can actually go beyond that, which is what I try to analyze in the book. Part of the incentive to be corrupt is that if you can fight and get into a strong leadership position in the ANC, chances are that you might be like Mbeki, like Zuma, like Cyril Ramaphosa, be in a position to control who becomes head of the NPA. Once you can control who becomes head of the NPA, then you can literally manipulate the situation. Zuma was able to suspend the head of the NPA when he thought that there was a risk to himself. Thabo Mbeki managed to tamper with the way Jackie Silebe was investigated because he could control what could happen in the NPA. So the NPA, in terms of the constitution, is nominally independent. But in practice, because of the appointment system of the head of the NPA, it's easy for anyone who is in charge of the party that is in government to basically manipulate the systems of the NPA to their favor. So the incentive to fight for leadership position goes beyond just merely getting a tender there, getting a job there. The stakes are high for the control of the state as a whole. So that's why when state capture happens, you basically have to hollow out the NPA. You basically have to hollow out. Kenton talks about SARS. We know what happened to SARS because it was identified as a problem. And why was that? Why was it possible to capture SARS? Because the president appoints the head of SARS. So if you can fight in the ANC to become president, you can control SARS via the appointment system. You can control the NPA via the appointment system. You can, you basically can do a lot of stuff.
So and get away with it.
Well,
there's a lot of incentive to fight to get to this position. So perhaps part of the problem is to remove that incentive. How do you do it then? Maybe Morero and them must say, okay, what is their plan to remove the incentive to be corrupt?
Sure. Pumi, you wanted to say something?
Yeah.
Well, part of the reason why we do have so much power resting in the president is also because of the way that our constitution has been constructed, you know, with the Nelson Mandela as the president in mind, you know, with the, an individual whose moral compass, as it were, which is what part of the reason why, even as we are having all this conversation around direct elections and who can be the president of the country or who can be the head of a city or a municipality, has become such a contentious issue, partly because there is so much power that is vested in the presidency and who the president can appoint to what positions and how all of those various institutions then become accountable to the executive. It then also, you know, calls to mind the idea of how our parliament works, because that is also part of the job of portfolio committees and who they hold accountable how. You know, again, on Monday, we've got yet another extra parliamentary, what is it called, calling this one? Cyril Ramaphosa now has 26
yes, he's
advisory
got,
councils.
Yeah.
Right? He's essentially Cyril Ramaphosa has got a parallel government that is advising him or his cabinet, or we don't know. Actually, we don't even know if
nine people appointed under, I think, Feroz Khachalia as the chairperson this week in a corruption commission who are going to advise the president on how to tackle corruption. So more talk. I mean, this is very frustrating.
We're up to 26 now. Right, now 26 right. Advisory commissions that this president has had since.
I think it's important also to acknowledge that work has also been done or work has been happening to try and deal with those that have done wrong. So it does not suggest that nothing has been happening. And I think we need to acknowledge that work has been done. Now, it is important, and I need to emphasize this point to Mpumi, because he also needs to accept that this corruption is also driven by black professionals and white professionals in the civil service.
The people that have been trained properly,
people who are not even members of any political party in the main, who have been driving the decisions, because the ANC, for example, in Johannesburg, we don't allow any of our councillors to sit in tender decisions. And that decision, we took it long ago, that no councillor would sit there. But who sits in those decisions? It's administrators, it's professionals. That have gone
this is what
Canadian
employment has been about.
Now, we need to address that question itself.
It is about getting people
because the public
who have
service
ties
itself
to the party
is rotten to the core. That's where you make a mistake.
You need to analyze what KEDA deployment means.
The city manager in Johannesburg is KEDA.
We can't
explain what KEDA deployment is. KEDA deployment. We only have a responsibility where I am responsible. Our responsibility is to appoint the city manager. The rest of the administrators is not our responsibility.
And we did appoint a city manager
in the name of Trevor Fowler to help us navigate building the city. Now, the rest of the professionals who are in the system, whether at SASA, whether in the city of Johannesburg, are not leaders or members of the ANC. They are professionals that we, as African people in particular, had hope and trust that they will help us build a country. We ourselves, it has nothing to do with data deployment. I mean, who do we deploy and how many people do we deploy in the system?
Honestly. You tell us.
I'm telling you, the Regional Executive Committee only has a responsibility in as far as the deployment of a city manager, in as far as all his other direct reports and anyone else under him. It's not our responsibility. The same way that the traffic officers who take money on the streets are not deployed by the ANC. The administrators who have been employed by the state. That is why I'm saying we need to understand that corruption exists, but somebody's enabling corruption to happen. So let's go there at the source.
Yep.
Does it feel better? Sorry, Pumelelo, before you go. So if it feels better for you to be able to say it is not our responsibility, even though what we see, we being the public, the civil, the people out here, what we see is we see a Brian Molefe with clear and strong ties to the ANC ascending to a position, and when in that position, he makes decisions that benefit not just known ANC members or ministers or the party as a whole, actually. So if it makes you feel better to say that it is not our responsibility, which is what we have all been saying, is that the ANC is unable to take responsibility for the fact that it has broken the system by having people that are linked to the ANC, linked to ministers, being in charge of the public purse and diverting those funds. And no one is saying that the public purse, that's what politicians do. they move funds, they allocate funds, but they allocate funds not for their benefits. They must allocate funds for the benefit of society. What we are seeing is we are seeing ANC, comrades, ministers, all of those individuals, and even businessmen with strong links to the ANC, diverting funds from the public purse into their own pockets. So if it feels better for you to say that you are not responsible, it is okay. What we see and what we hear,
no,
and
but
what
I think I never said we're not responsible.
You just said
I
that.
I think I said we're not.
It's okay. It's Mpumelelo's chance. It's Mpumelelo's chance to say
the
something.
Attention, the attempt here was to explain something to you, your misunderstanding of what cater deployment is.
It is not a misunderstanding. Mpumelelo is
and when we started the debate, one of the important things Mpumelelo Kabela raised was the fact that I am responsible in Johannesburg. He wanted to understand that now that you are responsible as the chairperson of the region of Johannesburg, what are you going to do? And it is important that I don't know where I am responsible. This is what I'll attempt to do to try and contribute towards resolving the problem. And it will be incorrect to suggest that administrators are all deployed by the ANC. It's not true. Yes, there was a Brian Molefe at the level of Transnet CEOs. Those are deployed by the leadership of the ANC at the national level. Yes, we agree. But not everybody has been deployed by the ANC. Unless you are saying everything that is wrong in the country is the ANC. And we can't even try to say everything else that is wrong is done by the ANC and try to also overshadow everything else that is right. But I think also we need to talk about what is right and what has been done right and what has benefited society in the long run. We must also talk about that because we tend to speak only more about wrong.
No, that's fine. I do want to, because we've got...
That point
sure, we've got limited time. I want Mpumelelo and Canthan to just have some final thoughts here, and then we can wrap this up. So Mpumelelo, it's your turn.
Yeah, well, I think in terms of, in theory, data is correct, in theory. And that's what the rule book says, that the ANC doesn't get involved or politicians don't get involved in tenders and stuff like that. That's in theory. But in practice, it's totally a different story. And it's the same as when you look at the ANC resolutions and declarations. In theory and rhetoric, and it's there. But in practice, it's a different story. So if you look at, I mean, we spoke about what happened with Makubo, for example, the former MMC and the former mayor. He was able, for example, to influence the tender system, not because he sat in the procurement committee himself, but he found a way to influence the system. So you don't necessarily have to sit in the procurement committee to influence it. In the end, you are the one who's going to sign off the budgets. You are the one who's going to take a budget and present it to the council of the municipality for approval. So you are the one who know in advance what the budget is going to say, what are the priorities. You are the one as an MMC responsible for a particular portfolio who's going to appoint an HOD of that portfolio. So through that processes, the approval processes, the appointment processes, the ANC is able to influence things, and it must take responsibility where wrong has happened. And then it must also agree that it cannot say that, yeah, because the bureaucrats that's there, not all of them are appointed by us. Therefore, if something goes wrong, it's not just about the ANC only. No. Wherever the ANC is the governing party, by the way, even if it's a whatever political party, wherever it is the governing party, it must take responsibility because, number one, it sets the moral tone for that sphere of influence where it is governing. There's a moral tone it must set by way of example, by way of what it does, by the way of what it says, number one. Number two, it sets the rules of governing within the framework of the Constitution. So all of these things ultimately influence what the bureaucrats do, what the bureaucrats don't do. And if you do things properly, not just in theory, like in practice, you will then make it difficult for the bureaucrats, whether they are appointed by the ANC or they are appointed by some other political party, or they are just professionals, as you say, you'll make it difficult for them to be corrupt, because they will have nothing on you. But the moment they have something on the political head of a department or of a municipality, then you can't touch them. So the system becomes a question of, one of the things I discuss in the book, political insurance. So I have stuff on you, you have stuff on me, so we can't reveal stuff about each other. So the system works as a mutual deterrent.
Batabile's small anyana skeletons, huh?
Yes. So the moral tone, that you can't run away from that. You need to set the moral tone, and then to make it difficult for your subordinates and for the bureaucrats to work around the rules or to game the system. So, but again, we spoke earlier. For that to happen, you need to remove the incentive for people to be corrupt.
On that note, and I'm going to give you the last word, Dada, because I do think it's, you know, we don't want to pile on just because you're the first ANC representative to come on the show in a while. So I don't want you to feel like you're being cornered here. But Canton, before we wrap up, and a lot of people in the comments are taking sides on this already. There are people saying, just listen to what Dada's saying. There are people saying Pumi's interrupting. There are people saying Pumi's right. It's all over the place. What do you think the ANC should do? Let's imagine for a second that it is possible to go against everything that we've said for a long time now, that the ANC is not finished, that there is a way for them to resuscitate themselves, to regenerate that kind of moral tone that Mpumelelo's talking about there. Is there a way that you think that's possible, and is there any advice that you would give the ANC if you were employed to consult to them?
I think that within the ANC ranks right now, Gareth, there's a significant movement to actually pull the organization together. And I hinted at this in a piece that I wrote fairly recently, which was on Thabo Mbeki's birthday, where I suggested that there was possibly going to be a internal revolution against Cyril Ramaphosa to oust him, because frankly, he is the most useless president we've ever had. And I strongly believe that people who were very firmly in Thabo Mbeki's camp are working towards ousting Cyril Ramaphosa from his current position. And when Julius Malema says things like this, Julius very rarely lies about such things. You know, he's generally very, very accurate. And frankly, I think that what needs to happen is that the ANC needs to split. And you need to have two ANCs. And effectively, the pair of them will end up running the country because they will command the majority. But all of their decision-making will have to be argued within parliament. And I think that that is going to be the solution. The ANC cannot heal itself in its current form. We need COPE 2.0 to happen. And that's the point at which we'll get the country back. Let's leave it there.
NWC Jonas is hearing you.
Yeah, well, let's hope that COPE 2.0, let's hope COPE 2.0 isn't a fight like we saw Musiwa Lekota in over the course of yesterday, because otherwise that's going to be even more embarrassing. All right, Dada, you get the last word. And you're welcome to respond to Mpumelelo or Pumi or Canton or all three.
Well,
if you like.
Thanks for the discussion. I think such dialogues would probably help us as leaders of the ANC individually, so to help us to do the right thing and build our country and build our movement. And I think Mukabela has really helped us in some of the issues that he raised, not only in the book, but a number of interviews that he has done. And where we are as Johannesburg, I think we could learn a lot from him to help us move forward. There are challenges in the ANC, there are challenges in the country, and I think we should continue to try and resolve some of the problems that are there. But we must also look into what good has happened in the country and where the country is doing and what different municipalities are doing and where are we going, especially where I think some of us have the responsibility. It might help for me that you also engage with what we're doing in Johannesburg and what we are doing in the city of Johannesburg.
So Dada, I can't let you go without perhaps having a response from you on what Canton said there and what has been talked about a little bit, this idea that there is an internal revolution going on in the ANC. And I know you won't confirm or deny, but perhaps you
could. Well, I just heard it from him now, so I don't want to comment.
Oh, okay.
Remember, right. I'm the original chairperson, so I'm regulated by processes of the organization until that there's a declaration of the roadmap to the national conference. That's only at that point that one can speak freely, even of my own preferences of leadership at conference. So I don't know about the internal revolt, but of course, at that right time, we will declare our preferences or who should take us forward. Remember, Gareth, we should not run away from the fact that there are challenges in an organization. And I think an organization which has not faced these challenges as big as we are, then we'll have serious problems with that organization. The same thing of people who are just getting unqualified audits here and here and nothing actually happens in the
Dada, your sound is kind of deteriorated a little bit now, so I'm going to let you go on this. We are also at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I hope it's not the last time we have you on. And
I'll want to come back.
All right, good.
Especially with Mpumi being here, I'll be glad.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Dada. Dada Morero from the ANC in Johannesburg. He is the regional chairperson of the Johannesburg ANC. Pumelelo, we didn't get to go into too much of the detail of your book, which I'm sorry about, because there's so much more we could have unpacked from there. But we will get you back if you have some time for us one morning. We'd love to have you back. And Canton, you've really thrown a cat among the pigeons now with your new theory about an internal revolt. I can guarantee you Dada's going to run back to the ANC now and say, hey, guys, what the hell? What's this? What's going on?
Go be free, Jonas. Watch this face.
Well, it looks like you also know something.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it. It's an open secret.
Let me just say the name of the person that's going to be brought forward. Pumzile Mlambo Nguka.
Oh, wow. Okay. There's something to think about. All right. So, guys, we will reconvene.
Is that why she started a Twitter account?
Yeah,
exactly. Right. Well spotted.
So we will reconvene on this matter, because maybe there's some predictions that have been thrown into the offing here. Pumelelo, thank you so much. Canton, always good to have you on. I know that you often do the school run, so you're not always able to join us, but people go crazy when you do. So hopefully we see you again soon, and we'll see where we'll test your predictions. So thank you to all the guests this morning. And if you want to read Pumelelo's book, it is called The Enemy Within. And I would recommend that to anyone who wants to try and understand so much of what goes on in the ANC. There we go. Pumi's got it right up front and center in the screen there. So how the ANC lost the battle against corruption. Yeah, the wolf in sheep's clothing. All right. So thank you very much. And again, I've just got to say, great to have someone from the ANC on, because, Pumi, we've tried, huh? We have tried. So to Dada's credit, despite the fact that there are...
We have to talk about what coalition.
Yeah, well, we've got it, especially in Joburg. But I do want to say, and not to state the point too much, because I don't want to bore people, but we always invite everybody, and sometimes we get replies and sometimes we get favorable responses. But so far, Dada's been one of the first ANC people to come on the show for a long time, and I hope that other ANC members will feel that they are able to come and join us and put their case forward, because we need to know. These are the people who control much of the country and so many municipalities in the country, and we need to speak to these people. We don't want them to be avoiding us. We want to deal with these things head on. So a big...
We love Dada. He must come back.
Yeah, big pleasure to have him on. All right, thank you so much, everybody. We will see you tomorrow. Have an excellent day. Canton, Pumi, thank you so much. Cheers. Bye-bye. CliffCentral.com